अमोभयाथं प्रतियन्तु विप्रा गङ्गाच्छ देवी धृतचित्तमीशे विजोपशिष्टा कुहकास्तक्षोत्वा तशात्वलङ्कायत विष्णुगाथः O Brahmins, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmin created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganga and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death. Today we are reading from Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 19, entitled The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami, Text Number 15. The great king Parikshit is offering this very beautiful, heartfelt prayer to the assembled Brahmins on the bank of the Ganges as an example for all people, for all time to come, to understand what is really of value in our life. King Parikshit, with a grateful heart, left the opulent kingdom of the world. He was the unrivaled emperor of the entire planet, with all the power, prestige, and facilities at his command. However, Parikshit Maharaj, being a Vaishnava, he understood what is actually sacred, what is really valuable in this life. Many people, they will fight, they will even commit offenses for some facilities, for some position. Parikshit Maharaj, he accepted the position, but his acceptance was simply as a humble servant. He had full realization that Krishna is the Lord of all lords. He is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the only real proprietor of everything that exists. He is the enjoyer. We are all his servants. Vaishnavism means, in essence, whatever position we take, in our heart, We are only concerned with humbly serving and pleasing the Lord and his devotees. That is our eternal constitutional position. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. The eternal servants of Krishna. We can never be the master. We can never be the proprietor. All of these ideas are actually born of Maya or illusion. Atapun biyad vijastreshtas varna shrama vibhagasha shanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshana. Whatever occupational duty you may perform, whatever particular ashram you may be in, whether brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprast, or sannyasi, or whether one is a shudra, vaishya, kshatriya, or brahman, the perfection of our work is simply to please Krishna. If Krishna is not pleased, shramevahi kevalam, then we've simply wasted our time. Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandara taratam karma kunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for the pleasure of Vishnu must be performed. Any other work, whatever you call it, whoever you may think you be, it is all simply a cause of bondage and suffering. Unless it is done in a spirit of servitude. The material world is the abode of exploitation. The spiritual world is the place of service. This is what differentiates material consciousness from spiritual consciousness. When we want nothing in return except service to please the Lord, that is Krishna consciousness. And other types of mentalities, even if we are dressed as devotees and have positions as devotees and people are bowing down to us as devotees, if there's any desire for distinction, prestige, power, accumulation for oneself, that is not Krishna conscious. Somehow or other, the great souls dovetails our propensities in such a way that we'll come to this conclusion. But this is what we have to strive for. This should be our standard. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rahoite kipvaye. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in this way. I do not want wealth or beautiful companionship of ladies. I do not want prestige followers, nor do I even want liberation from suffering. Let me simply be your servant, birth after birth after birth. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. This is what Mahaprabhu considered to be actually advancement of civilization. This consciousness of being servant of the servant of the servant. And we will all be tested today or tomorrow to see how much we have actually imbibed this inner state of Krishna consciousness. We may be going through the forms of devotional service which are necessary and required for purification. But we have to carefully hear from the scriptures, hear from the sadhus, hear from guru. So we understand actually what is the direction that my consciousness should be going in my service. Otherwise, this material world is created in such a way to incriminate, infatuate, and distract you away from Krishna. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There's danger at every step in this world. Now sometimes we think danger at every step means I might fall into a gutter or someone may murder me or I may get some disease and die. But those dangers aren't so serious. The greatest danger is Maya may plunder us of our Krishna consciousness. We may make aparads to others. We may become distracted by the environment, from within or without. Dharmasya hipabhargasya narthatayopakalpate. Even danger at every step that the facilities I get in executing my devotional service, I try to utilize for my own selfish enjoyment. That is also danger. Maya has her ways. She is Krishna's own energy. She can make you fall down with one crash in the head, or she could just make you feel that you're making such great spiritual advancement, but just inject within your heart some slight misconception that I am the enjoyer, that I am great, that I am better than others. And then soon you find that you are trapped in her net, helplessly. So we will be tested. And we need to see people who are actually examples in order for us to have faith. Because that faith will carry us through all obstacles. We have to have faith that there is nothing of any true value anywhere in the entire creation except devotion to Krishna. Mahaprabhu prayed in this way. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. That this entire creation is nothing but a dreary void bereft of the darshan of Govinda. So many things we are wanting on the gross and subtle levels. But Mahaprabhu has declared this. It is all a dreary void. All the positions we may achieve, all the facilities we may achieve. It's all simply castles of sand on the shore of illusion. And the wave of time will soon wash away everything that we've given our life to achieve. Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo navidhi. Except for whatever spiritual progress we have made on the path of bhakti. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was a king. He had serious social family responsibilities, and he executed them all perfectly. He was not the kind of devotee who was negligent of his occupational duties with the excuse that I'm chanting Hare Krishna. When Kali was beating that cow, Parikshit Maharaj wasn't thinking, I have to chant my rounds now. He was right there with his sword, ready to punish that wicked villain. To protect the innocent, to protect the principles of religion. Such a king he was. He taxed his citizens, and he used every paisa of that tax for the welfare of the citizens. He was working hard as a king, but it was all in a spirit of devotion. It was all as a spirit of a servant representative of Guru and Krishna. He wasn't attached to the position. But we're all tested. Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. He was still a relatively young man at the prime of his career. And the offense that he committed was not really an offense at all. He was overcome by intense thirst. His intelligence was bewildered by that situation, and he made some playful gesture of sarcasm toward Samigrishi, the sage. It wasn't really a serious offense. Serious offense is when we act with the motivation of envy to actually hurt someone, that is a serious offense. But accidental offenses that we may commit due to being overcome by the modes of nature at a certain time, they can easily be rectified if we just have a repentant heart. So that was the situation of Maharaj Parikshit. He could have easily complained, "Die in 7 days for that? Why is Krishna doing this to me? I beat that Kali down. I'm protecting the entire citizens from irreligion. I'm doing it all for Krishna. Why has he done this to me?" For most people, they would have become atheists in that situation. If Krishna is the supreme controller, then he has no right to treat me in such a way. What harm did I do to others? I lived in his service and in the service of the Vaishnavas and in the service of humanity every day of my life. Why is he doing? Or if he's doing, there must not be a God. Either he's impotent, he's foolish, or he doesn't exist. But those ideas did not even come into his heart. Tathenu kampam susamiksha mano bunjana evat kritam vipagam ritvagva purbir vadatam namaste jivetiya mukti pade sadaya bhag. With folded hands and a grateful heart, he accepted it as Krishna's mercy. "I deserve worse. I offer my obeisances to you, O Lord." He was grateful. He took this vicious attack with a gracious heart. And immediately he detached himself from everything with no remorse, understanding that the only real purpose of life, the only real motivation I've ever really had was to serve Krishna. Now Krishna wants me to give all this up? I'm glad to do so. And he left. When he went to the bank of the Ganga with the vow to fast until death, to associate with great personalities, his example was so pure, was so very much exemplary, that the sages, the rishis, and the brahmins came from all over the universe to be there to help him remember Krishna at the time of death. They wanted to be a part of this glorious pastime. This is the nature of great souls. They are eager to help those who are in need. And what is a Vaishnava? Vaishnava is not like impersonalists, that I do not need anything. The impersonalist philosophers, their conception is liberation, is to become Atmaram in the sense that I don't need anything. I am self-sufficient. I am self-satisfied. If he was that type of philosopher, he would have just gone some lonely place and gone into some samadhi meditation and Brahman and died in that way. But he didn't want that. He wanted to be amongst the devotees, because he felt a dire, desperate need for satsang, an intense thirst for the association of devotees, knowing that without them he has no hope. That is Vaishnava. To the degree we actually realize how much 24 hours a day we are intensely in need of Krishna's mercy, coming through his name, coming through his scriptures, coming through his devotees. To that degree, we're actually transcendental to material nature. A devotee is thirsting for Krishna. The example is Chataki bird. The Chataki bird is always looking to the clouds for rain. Will not accept anything but rain directly from the cloud. Even in the summer season, when the clouds are hardly present, he's just waiting for the cloud. And all the other birds, they're enjoying like anything. There's so many reservoirs of water, lakes and ponds and rivers, and they're saying, "Chitake, you fool, come down and drink with us. We're having a nice time." No. I'm waiting for that drop to come from the cloud. But there are no clouds. I'm waiting. I will accept nothing else. And when the monsoons come, that big bluish cloud, Ganesham, Krishna is like that monsoon cloud. It comes overhead, and the Chitake bird is always looking up toward that cloud. He will never even cast his glance upon the reservoirs of even crystal clear waters of this world. And sometimes instead of water, the cloud sends thunder. And then thunderbolt right on the head of the Chitake bird. And all the other birds are saying, "You see, we told you, what is the use? Come and enjoy with us." No, I will wait. I will thirst. I will starve for that drop of mercy coming from the cloud. Krishna is Ganesham. He is that cloud. And we, as devotees, we should be thirsting only for his mercy. But the rest of the world, they will be trying to enjoy the nourishment of this world in the form of materialistic life. And our own family members, our friends, the whole society around us are saying, "What crazy person are you, renouncing all these things? What evidence do you even have that you'll ever get that drop?" But the test of a devotee is to be like that Chitake bird and not hear anyone who is telling us anything against Krishna, and to wait and to thirst. And when that one drop comes, it satisfies. When that one drop of true mercy enters into our hearts, it satisfies all our desires eternally. But we have to want it. We have to long for it. We have to strive for it. And we cannot put anything of this world in front of that. If you want anything in this world, Krishna will let you, he will settle with that. You want some wealth from your devotional service? Here is your wealth. You want some position, prestige, power, or influence for your devotional service? Here it is. You want to be worshipped and respected for your devotional service? Here it is. But we will not get Krishna. It's only when we understand that whether I have these things or do not have these things is irrelevant. The only essential aspect of my life is I'm really striving for pure, unalloyed love for Krishna, because that's the only thing really that will please Krishna. Prabhupada was asked this question one time: of all the types of service in ISKCON, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada replied, "When you love Krishna." And what is love? Love is selfless. Ahoitiki apratihata. That is definition of love in Bhagavatam. Unmotivated and uninterrupted by any material, egoistic consideration. That's what we should be striving for. That's what we should be longing for. That's the only subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the singular subject of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada said there are so many institutions in this world. Let there be one institution that has no other motivation except pure, unalloyed devotional service to Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our purpose. And we will all be tested. When it is taken away, do we hold on? Or do we surrender to Krishna? I will not mention names, but one very, very, very great yogi, most famous yogi in the world, in one sense, not the yogi. He told me about a person who was one of the most famous philosophers in the whole world, coming from India. In fact, I used to know this man. He had so many books and people everywhere, especially scholars, reading his books to learn about the higher truths and self-realization. And this person said he was with that man when he was dying. He was dying of cancer or something. And the man was just telling his doctors and telling his followers, I have to stay on. I haven't finished my business. There's so many things left undone. I have to continue. I have to live on. And he died in that consciousness. And this great yogi said, but your Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, when he saw that it was his time to leave, he graciously went to Vrindavan. He tried to hold on. That is our duty. Hold on to life as far as possible. But when he saw it was his time to go, he just let go of everything. And amongst his devotees, everyone was chanting the holy names of Krishna. And he surrendered his heart, he surrendered his soul to Krishna. He said, that is a saintly person. That is a great soul. That was the example of Srila Prabhupada. How he lived, how he left us. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was right there at his side witnessing these most glorious pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And Yadubar Prabhu, he filmed the entire episodes. We're so happy to have them giving us their association today. And His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, one of the confidential associates of Srila Prabhupada, is blessing us with his right hand. Thank you, Maharaj. But if we do not develop this consciousness in our life, then it will be impossible at the time of death to actually take shelter of Krishna. We have to really, sincerely, and honestly understand what is of value. When we take shelter of Krishna, we become fearless. Vajahure mana sri nanda nandana abhayat sharanara vindare. Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj has entitled his series Abhay Charan. So significant, because this is a world of fear. Practically the entire economy of the civilization is based on trying to somehow or other mitigate fear. We fear hunger, so there's a whole food market. We fear shelter, so there's so many construction. We fear loneliness, so there's the movie industry and the music industry. We fear disease, so there's the whole medical industry. That pretty much covers everything. We fear that people will not look at me in a very, very nice way. So there's the cosmetic industry and the fashion and clothes industry. The whole world is motivated by fear, because everyone knows that death or pain could come at any moment, at any time, to anyone. It's a precarious situation. But one who turns to Krishna is Abhay Charanaravindare. He is fearless. Maharaj Parikshit is the example. He is the acharya that we must learn from. Srimad Bhagavatam was revealed to the world through his fearless shelter in Krishna. 7 days to live, what would you do? There was a television show in America about a man who was given 1 year to live. He was some doctor or lawyer, very wealthy person. So everyone knows that this might happen to them. So they were very interested in this show. And every week, he was engaged in some tremendously exciting type of sense gratification. He wanted to get the most out of this 1 year of life. He wanted to get 80 years of sense gratification in this 1 year. So 1 year, he's parachuting with a beautiful woman in the Caribbean. Another week, he's scuba diving with some beautiful woman in the Mediterranean. Another week, he's climbing the Swiss Alps with another woman. So many adventures, so much enjoyment. People were really thinking, he is a hero. He really knows how to enjoy. He became so popular that the ratings of his show were so great that they had to extend his life another year. Because the advertisers were making so much money off this show. And then another year, people were starting to think, when's the man going to die? But people, this is their idea. They want as much sense gratification as they can in their life. But Parikshit Maharaj, in a blissful state of consciousness, he went to the bank of the Ganges. And here he is welcoming with such a gracious heart all of the great sages. And saying, because I have received the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, I'm fearless of death. The only thing I fear is that I may forget Krishna. Because in remembering Krishna, we have eternal life. In forgetting Krishna, that is death. Therefore, he is begging these great Brahmins and sages, please, please enlighten me. Let that snake bite, Taraksha, come. Let that snake bird come and bite me at once. I don't mind as long as I'm hearing the glories of Krishna from all of you. I have given the example of our god sister, Kunti Devi. She had cancer. She was just an ordinary type of devotee by relative consideration. She was a mother of two children. She used to go out and sell books and collect Lakshmi. And she was always in the background. And so many hardships came in her life. And so many ways she was even not treated properly within our society. But she just tried to go on with her service. And then cancer, violent cancer. And she was paralyzed from the waist down, morbid pain 24 hours a day. Doctors gave her at the most 6 months to live. At the time she was in Utah, and a television show, they heard about this lady who was the most blissful person in Utah, who was going to die in a few months. So they came and they interviewed her, and she was preaching to them and smiling and telling them how wonderful life is in Krishna consciousness. They were shocked. They did a show for the whole state, practically. And they were glorifying her. Here is this old lady. She's not even that old. She's only in her 40s. She's about to die. She's in total pain. She's paralyzed. And she's telling us how wonderful life is. Just thinking of Krishna, remembering Krishna. Talking about the eternality of the soul. She's telling him, this is the grace of God. This is the love of God upon me. People really listened to what she was saying. And she came to New Vrindavan because she wanted to leave her body there. Every day I would go, when I was in New Vrindavan, to go and read from Prabhupada's books for her. Devotees were always doing that. And she couldn't even pick up a book, she was so weak. But someone gave her this computer with all Prabhupada's books, and she would just go and she would just read. She was so blissful. Her body was racked with pain, but she was blissful. One devotee came in to cheer her up because she had this horrible attack and it appeared she was going to die, and they brought her to the hospital, and somehow or other she came out of it. So some people went to the hospital and she started preaching to them how wonderful Krishna consciousness is, how we're the eternal soul, whatever happens to this body, just help me remember Krishna. She was preaching to them. But not in a way like this, in a way like this, enlightening, illuminating, with humility. So one day when I was there, she was always just so eager to hear. As soon as anyone came in the room, she'd say, "Tell me about Krishna. Tell me about Srila Prabhupada." That was the only discussion she would care to hear. Because what else is important? So one day she said, "You know, people think that I'm unfortunate, but I am so fortunate." She said, "I've been reading Srila Prabhupada's books for 25 years. But now, when I read Prabhupada's books in this condition of my life, I feel that Prabhupada is directly and personally speaking to me in every word of his books. And that has given me the greatest bliss, the greatest meaning in my life. I would not exchange my condition of life for anyone in the entire universe. Because I'm hearing Srila Prabhupada most intimately now." She said, "I'm not on my deathbed. I'm on the bank of the Ganges, following in the footsteps of Shukadev, of Maharaj Parikshit, and I'm hearing 24 hours a day from my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. I would not exchange my position for anything. Let me die now. Doesn't matter. Prabhupada's speaking to me. I have the devotees' mercy. They're coming and giving me. I've never had so much association. What a glorious benediction I have received." And I was there when she left her body. When she was going into a difficult state, she said, "Please read from Prabhupada's books." We read The Passing of Haridas Thakur, then we had Kirtan, and then she appeared to be in a coma for the last couple hours. Because she wasn't talking, she was not externally making any gestures of consciousness of what was going on externally. But when she was like that, not long before she left this world, her daughter just whispered in her ear, "Mata, please thank you for giving me Krishna." And as soon as she said that, tears started flowing from her eyes. So she was awake. She was conscious. She understood what is really valuable in life. She told me, "Whatever injustices, whatever difficulties have come upon me, I just have to let go of all these things. Who cares? It's all material. The only thing that's a reality is Krishna and how we are Krishna conscious. And nothing in this illusory world of relativities should in any way distract our hearts from that." This is the example of Maharaj Parikshit. "Let the snake bird bite me now. I don't mind. I'm ready to die." Because in the association of devotees, in hearing the names and the glories of the Lord, there can be no death. For a Vaishnav, death means the opening of the doors to the eternal spiritual world. Abhaya Charanaravindare. Therefore we are fearless. But as long as we want to hold on to anything of this world, we will be fearful. In the Bible it is said, Don't make your treasure in this world. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. In this world, every treasure will either be stolen by thieves or eaten by moths or corroded by rust. Make your treasure in the kingdom of God. In all stages. Whatever service we are doing, whatever occupation we may have, whatever ashram we are in, we should understand our only purpose for endeavoring is simply to please Krishna, simply to purify our hearts, simply to become more and more attached to serving, to pleasing, and to chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Anutama Prabhu, I am ending class just on time for your pleasure. Because actually, we cannot please Krishna without pleasing his devotees. The way to Krishna is through the hearts of his devotees. If we please the Vaishnavas, Krishna is conquered by that gesture. But if we somehow or other neglect the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will neglect us. So for the pleasure of Anutama Prabhu and the assembled Vaishnavas, I thank you very much.